Welcome to Taco Talk, a podcast series that spins tunes and tales with members of the American Classical Orchestra and beyond. Hosted by Thomas Crawford, Artistic Director of the ACO, each episode takes a unique and intriguing glimpse into the world surrounding historic performance.
Welcome to Taco Talk. I'm Tom Crawford, the Artistic Director of the American Classical Orchestra. Today is a special day for me and for our Taco Talk because we're going to visit the orchestra's Classical Music for Kids program. And we have the founder here, May Miller. Welcome, May.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
And we have one of our favorite public school music teachers, Katie Traxler. Hi, Katie.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. Well, let's talk first to May. Let me just give you the floor because it certainly changed my life when I met you. Your husband said that too, but I tell you, it's we do have a sense of humor when we work together, but you came to me with this idea of creating a children's education program, and hundreds of thousands of children later, here we are.
Well, to just give everyone a little background, before the American Classical Orchestra became a pure instrument group, my husband, Matt, and I were longtime subscribers to the Fairfield Orchestra in Fairfield County, Connecticut. For some reason, during those years in Connecticut, I never had the pleasure of personally meeting the orchestra founder and conductor, Tom Crawford. So one day, a mutual friend, who was also a board member of the orchestra, Peter Burnham, suggested that Tom and I should meet and talk about how to help the orchestra reach a greater audience. Tom and I finally met. I mentioned that when Matt and I were raising our two children, we enjoyed taking them to Broadway shows and family concerts in New York. Our family subscribed to the Little Orchestra at Lincoln Center and to a matinee series at Carnegie Hall. The kids were always excited on concert day. They liked getting dressed up, look forward to a meal at a fancy New York restaurant, and going to the concert hall. It was a wonderful family activity and a fun way of introducing children to the pleasures of live performances. So I suggested to Tom that Fairfield County families, as well as our schools, would truly benefit from an excellent music program that was designed for lower and middle school students. So Tom thought about it and came promptly back to me and said, "We love the idea and want you to do it." They invited me to become the orchestra's first education director. I helped Tom create an educational outreach program for the orchestra. Classical Music for Kids, also known as CMK, was launched in the fall of 1999. For the past 22 years, CMK has reached over 330,000 school children in the New York metropolitan area. Children gain a greater appreciation in performance arts with some advanced preparation, such as listening to the music and learning more about the content of the program. In advance of our school visit, CMK provides the educator with ancillary materials such as a teacher's guide and music excerpts to help him prepare his students for our visit. As a result, the students are more engaged and knowledgeable when attending our performances. So that's how we started CMK.
Yeah, and what about your personal feeling now 20 years in, May? You know, you've influenced so many children. How does it feel doing it over and over again and reaching new children all the time?
It's absolutely wonderful. And I think many years ago, I was shopping in the Westchester Mall. A woman and her two grown girls came running after me, behind me. And they caught up to me and tapped me on the shoulder and said, "Are you May Miller?" I said, "Oh, dear." I said, "Yes." And she says, "I just want you to know, you see these two young women," and they were like in their 20s or something, her two girls now. She said, "We owe a great deal to you and to the orchestra for CMK because we absolutely enjoy going to those performances. And as a result, these two girls have appreciated classical music and it is part of their repertoire." So experiences such as this particular one, it was so heartfelt and heartwarming.
I always felt that your basic idea is solid. Children love music. They love to sing. They love to dance.
Yep.
But your simple, straightforward kind of business model was different from what other orchestras have done and many other performing arts groups have done, which is that we needed a teacher so that there would be some preparation. And you really required preparation, at least a day, so that we weren't coming in just for entertainment. You know, we wanted them to have a little more appreciation, even if music was not a big part of their lives. So that was a key element that you drove right from the beginning. And this was equally key. We were taking myself and the professional musicians of the ACL right into the classroom. And then you had the idea that they would also come to a family concert. So it was sort of a three-pronged thing. And by the time they go to the family concert and they see those same musicians on the stage playing the same music that they were just taught about, I was always grateful to you for that. It was simple but comprehensive. So, Katie, we've been to your school several times. You've seen several different programs. Tell us about why you went into this field.
Before I tell you that, I think it's 11 years. I think that you have come to my school 11 years. Wow. I was trying to think back to all the programs that you've done, and your programs truly are magical. Wow. We just love having you year after year. I think that ever since I was a little kid, I've just been drawn to music, you know, and I didn't have musicians really in my family. But I remember my sister's best friend played the piano, and I just thought that was the most magical thing. And I begged for piano lessons. And so my parents put me in a piano lessons when I was, I think, in first grade. And I was that kid who they, you know, you never had to ask to practice. I just wanted to be making music. I wanted to be sitting at the keyboard and playing and singing. And I don't know, there was something magical about it. There was something that it was like my own thing. And it was something that I was in charge of, and I had, nobody could take it from me, right? The more I practiced, the better I became, and how empowering that was. And just that feel of like joy and success and gratification, you know, being fifth grade kid, right? I'll never forget that. And I think those moments that where I just experienced so much happiness and excitement from doing something that just seemed like play. It just seemed like, you know, it wasn't work. It was playful, and it hooked me. And so I was in band and kept going. And when I first came to college, I knew that I wanted to be a music teacher. I wanted to be a piano teacher at first. And then when I got to my elementary music class and they had all these little xylophones and glockenspiels on the floor, and, you know, and we walked in as college music freshmen and or sophomores and saw these little instruments, all these little percussion instruments, and I was a percussion major, I was like, what is this? I had never seen them before. And so then I learned about Urs Schulwerk, which is the approach to teaching that I take in my classroom, which is a very open-ended, child-centered approach to teaching music education. It's kind of the anything goes music approach, you know, which is why I like it so much. I've always, as long as I can remember, I've always wanted to be a teacher. I come from a family of teachers. My sister's a kindergarten teacher. My aunt was a kindergarten teacher. My grandpa was the vice principal at the school that I went to when I was a kid. So I was always surrounded by people who found joy in education and who found found a way to make their classroom feel like a family.
On a little more sober subject, we were unable to come to your school this last year. Because of the pandemic, of course, and of all the kinds of teachers, I counted my blessings that I was not an elementary school teacher of music, because I remember May communicating to me in talking with the teachers about, well, what can we do? What can we do? That one of the things, I think it may have even come from you, is we know there won't be any singing. And just to say that to me, you know, I love children singing more than anything, even more than orchestras. And it's like, you can't tell a child not to sing. I mean, it just comes with the body. And so, I mean, how awful.
They sing before they talk, right? I mean,
yeah.
That has been a struggle for elementary music teachers across the country. I'm in lots of Facebook support music teacher groups, right? Because we all had to figure things out together. And that's how we networked, right? Like, what are you doing? How are you, you know, figuring this out? It has been a really difficult year because singing is something every kid can do. It's free, it's easy, it's fun, and everyone has a voice.
We'll return to the podcast in just a moment. I'm David Larkin, Executive Director of the American Classical Orchestra. Consider helping us continue to spin tunes and tales with other members of the ACO and beyond. Make a donation in honor of Taco Talk. Look for the Donate or the Support ACO button on our podcast page, any email we have sent you, and on our website. Our musicians, thank you for it. And thank you for listening.
Well, the ACO is a classical music outfit, of course, and the program is called Classical Music for Kids. We have had a different program pretty much every year for the 20 years. Most recently, we did a Peter and the Wolf version, which involved a chamber, a group of musicians, not a full orchestra. It involved me doing the narration and playing the piano and playing one of the roles. And then it involved the famous Prokofiev score of Peter and the Wolf, so that the children could have the character instruments right in the classroom. They could hear the music, in many cases, for the first time. I think the piece has been especially successful over the decades because the instruments really do seem to imitate or match those particular animals. I mean, that there has to be something to that, you know? So what we have decided to do, because of the pandemic in part and because of May's strong influence, we're going to make a professional video, a professional film of Peter and the Wolf. And May, tell us a little bit more about what is very special about this film that will be produced this summer. It'll be ready for the fall.
We're going to have an added bonus, a little twist to the program. And we have decided, and we have already engaged two top professional mimes to enact the narration. And I think, you know, years ago, we had performed a full orchestral program of Peter and the Wolf. And with the Magic Circle Mime, that's where the idea came from. We performed it to a packed concert hall. And it was just, you know, different enough that from the traditional presentation of Peter and the Wolf that the audience just went wild. So I thought, okay, well, taking that same idea, why don't we create our own version of Peter and the Wolf? Because it's been performed so many times. But I think this is going to be quite unique. So we've hired a professional video producer and stage director. And we have these two mimes. One of them is the renowned Bill Bowers. He's been in the industry for many decades.
It's like there's a layer of imagination already when the children have to imagine the animals and the story of this boy. But now we're going to add another level of imagination where the whole thing will be acted out by mimes. I thought I'd put the two of you on the spot here for fun and anyone listening to actually hear the animal music from Prokofiev. And just on the spot, tell me what it is about it that makes you feel like a child. And we all have the child's perspective on this music, I think. First music we hear is the strings. To me, that music says, what's coming next? What's happening here? There's a sense of anticipation in that melody. What do you think, May?
Well, knowing it's Peter, I see a young boy happily strolling through the woods or nearby, near his home, and just having a wonderful day. It represents fun and easiness. In our little pantomime, we had all the children just sort of walking very quickly and happily.
Yeah, that's kind of a skip in the step.
Yeah.
Katie?
That rhythmic feel and that the movement of the contour of the melody and the motion of the melody, how it just keeps coming. It really does have this feel of like, I'm going somewhere, like I'm going on a parade, May, right? Like it really, if you get kids to stand up and just say, move to this music, show me this music with your body, they really do start to take a little sing-songy journey, right? And it's very light. It's very lilting with the strings right there. And it really does feel like Peter's just happy-go-lucky, a little boy, very mischievous, right? With his little pop gun in the cartoon pictures that go with it, you know? But it really does have this beautiful feel of like, we're going somewhere. Let's go. Because the melody just moves us along.
That's what I hear. Let's listen to the bird. May?
When we were touring schools with the program, I had this wonderful role in the whole program where I would lead the children in some pantomime. And so for the bird, to me, it represents fluttering of the bird's wings. And so we had all the children using their hands and their arms and sort of doing a fluttering movement.
That's great. Katie, what's your reaction to that?
Well, you know, in all of the Disney movies and traditionally in cartoons, the bird is always a flute sound and the kids recognize it. It immediately, you don't even, I mean, without even asking them, they think it's a bird. And it's just, it's the perfect choice, right? And whoever did it first, right? We know who did it first. It wasn't Disney. But, you know, and they all recognize that as a bird and a bird tweeting, a little bird singing a song, right? And you can ask them and imagine, like, what do you think the bird is singing about? What does the bird see? Where's he going? You know, and they immediately, that imagery just pops into their head so easily.
Well, if ever there was an animal where the animal came before the instrument, it would be this one, the oboe.
So ducks are so much fun, that squeaky, squawky sound of the reed instruments, right?
That's what it is.
Yeah. So it really, if you show kids and ask kids what kind of animal makes kind of a squawky or squeaky sound, the first thing they're going to say, right, is a duck. So it's got that reed sound. It really is, helps them identify with that character.
How about this animal?
Well, that is definitely a cat that's slithering, sneaky, you know, crawling to this rhythm. I think it makes a child feel kind of mischievous.
It sounds mischievous.
Yeah.
It does. It's the very low register of the clarinet.
Like he's ready to pounce on something almost.
Right. There is a human character besides Peter in the thing, and it has a comical music. The bassoon.
I think that when you ask them, when you show them a picture of, you know, the cartoon grandpa, and he's got that big scowl and sometimes a big mustache, you know, and ask them to kind of act that out, you always get like the finger wag. Right? Like the, don't you do that. Where are you going? So I think it's that big, just heavy, you know, kind of almost, kind of ominous, right? Like he's going to get in trouble. Something's about to happen. And grandpa knows that Peter's going to do something he's not supposed to, right?
To me, it sounds kind of pompous, moving.
Well, he's stern in the story. He's very stern.
He represents authority. I think when Prokofiev wrote that, you know, I think grandfather represented the old world. And to me, that is a sound of not the new world, but the old world. And it comes across that way.
Speaking of ominous, the next instrument has the capacity to be many different moods, including ominous. The French horn.
Thank you.
that's just flat out scary to me.
Very scary. Something terrible is going to happen. Prepares you for it. You know, it's just slowly moving and getting scarier and louder.
And those quick tremolos on the strings that kind of support that, like, something's coming, like shaking you. And you're like, beware, beware, turn back now. You know, it's got that, yeah, that paired with that brassy in your faceness, right? It really does sound like there's something coming.
Yeah, I can just see the teeth coming out when that music starts. There's a strange part at the end of the score that brings everybody together, which is all the animals and the grandfather and Peter and everybody gets into a parade line and the tune comes back and everybody basically assembles and processes in a parade. It's very grand music with all the instruments together. The kids sit up in their chairs when they hear that.
You know, that drum sound comes out. So that if the second they hear those drum rolls and those big drum taps, they feel like it's like, oh, soldiers are coming, or, you know, like that proud parade feel. You know, they love to pantomime that and walk around the room playing with that, right?
Yeah.
Very proud moment.
Well, it's very uplifting, and it's a cause for celebration because they have captured the wolf. Everyone is happy and lighthearted, and they're all marching together. It's a wonderful ending to this story.
And this is a wonderful ending to our podcast. I can't thank you enough for providing this joyful little view. So thanks again.
And thanks to Tom, because Tom is really classical music for kids. Don't you agree, Katie?
I do. I love the costumes that he wears when he comes to my school. And that's one of my favorite parts. He is all in.
Doesn't matter if he's Vivaldi or Mozart.
Mozart, right? The joy that exudes from that is just, you know.
That was all May's idea many years ago. I'll have you know. She came to me one day with this very serious look on her face and said, Tom, you're going to have to wear the wig. Thanks again. Nice seeing you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you.
I'm producer Mark Zaki, and you've been listening to Taco Talk. If you're interested in historical music performance and music in general, I encourage you to subscribe so that you can hear all of the other interesting episodes that we have coming up. To learn more about the American Classical Orchestra, please visit us on the web at aclnyc.org. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next time.